Thank you. We're joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the congressman from Rhode Island's 1st Congressional District, Democrat David Cicilline. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
A brief shutdown of the federal government ended earlier this week. That was after Democrats agreed to trust that Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell will allow a vote to allow the so-called Dreamers to stay in the U.S. Congressman Cicilline, you were the only one among Rhode Island's 4-person congressional delegation to vote against ending the shutdown. Why were your 3 colleagues wrong?
Well, I wouldn't say my 3 colleagues were wrong, but look, I led a letter in the House, along with my colleague, Congressman Welch, Peter Welch of Vermont, signed by 171 Democrats, where we laid out what we thought a continuing resolution should include. Make sure there was parity between defense and non-defense spending, funding the opioid crisis, reauthorizing the CHIP program.
But this did include the reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program for 6 years. So did Democrats get outmaneuvered by Republicans on this
one? I don't know if it's a question of getting outmaneuvered, but what we need to do is stop this sort of limping along continuing resolution to continuing resolution. This is the 4th continuing resolution we've had. This is a $4.1 trillion government. We need to have a permanent budget. The Secretary of Defense said there is no greater danger to our men and women in uniform in the field than another continuing resolution. So this is no way to run a country. This shows the incredible incompetence, really, of the Republican leadership. And I think many in the House just thought, we've got to stop this and we need to do a real budget.
I kind of think that you got boxed in, and I think you made the wrong choice in the sense that it came out that it was about the Dreamers and that you weren't going to settle. I think it was polled. I think people support the Dreamers, and that's a good thing. But to tie it to shutting down government engenders resentment.
Absolutely.
It doesn't bring people along. And I think you are on the wrong end of this,
David. I strongly disagree. We made it very clear, and every time we spoke about this, that this, if there wasn't a single Dreamer in America ever, I would have still voted against another continuing resolution. It's 4 months since we've had a budget, 4 months since CHIP expired, 4 months since the VA has run out of money for the CHOICE program. So we made it very clear this was about 5 or 6 issues. This was not a way to just continue to limp along. I think you are right. Some people said it's only about the Dreamers, which I think was a miscalculation. That was on the list. I think it's really important we take care of the Dreamers. But this is just one of a long list of things that the Republicans failed to do.
Congressman, I understand the court of public opinion, where you're playing right now and where you're pleading. But really, can we expect the Democratic minority in the House to get anything done, given the fact that Speaker Ryan appears to have a solid Republican majority behind him?
Well, I think, you know, we would hope that the Republican majority would at least work with Democrats in a bipartisan way to pass a budget, to reauthorize the CHIP program, to take care of our veterans. The things that we included on that in that letter, these are all bipartisan issues that have bipartisan support. Even the DREAM Act, we have 25 co-sponsors, Republican co-sponsors, on a bill pending in the House. So they're all bipartisan issues. Now, whether or not they ultimately come to the floor, you're absolutely right, will ultimately be up to Speaker Ryan. And on this issue of the Dreamers, even though there's been a promise made by Senator McConnell, there is no such promise made by the Speaker. So it's going to really require the public to continue to demand action on all of these issues if we're actually going to make progress.
Let's switch gears and talk about a different facet of the immigration issue, because immigration and anti-immigrant politics are really a trademark for President Trump. Certainly the Dreamers are very sympathetic figures, but many Americans are troubled by how there are something like 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S., and the perception among many is that these people are in the country without having gone through the process. Congressman Cicilline, what do you say to those people who think that these undocumented immigrants should go to the back of the line?
The first thing to say is that we are strengthened as a country by the presence of immigrants. I think everyone recognizes we're a country built by immigrants. We have a bipartisan bill that was actually passed by the Senate, never taken up by the House. If it were taken up by the House, it would have passed overwhelmingly with bipartisan support. That includes, of course, securing our borders, giving a pathway to citizenship. We can fix our broken immigration system, but it has to recognize that we need to work together in a bipartisan way. And frankly, there's bipartisan support to do it in the House. We just have to get the Speaker to bring the bill to the floor.
Scott, there hasn't been a bipartisan agreement on immigration since about 1986. How do you see the outlook?
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody talks about bipartisanship in Washington, but it never really seems to happen. And I'm wondering, Congressman Cicilline, if you really think you can trust Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan. These people seem yoked to the base of their party, and they don't really seem to budge. For instance, I'm interested in how you feel about the Chuck Schumer deal, which basically looked like he was willing to build the wall or start building the wall in exchange for the Dreamers.
Yeah, I mean, the question about whether you can trust Mitch McConnell is a, you know, a question I think the senators, Senator Schumer said that it's not only a promise he made to that Mitch McConnell made, but he made that promise to other Republican senators. That we have the disadvantage in the House is there wasn't any promise. Speaker Ryan never made a commitment to bring up the VA funding, to bring up opioid funding, disaster relief, or the Dreamers. So for us, it was basically the same bill that we already rejected overwhelmingly, just changed the date. I think what Senator Schumer is saying is, look, if we get a Dream Act bill on the floor and it passes, then we'll be able to put a lot of pressure on the speaker to bring that bill to the floor. I hope that works.
My take is it's going to be very, very difficult because they're going to extract a lot of conditions. We're talking about chain migration. We're talking about
the wall.
Don't use
that term.
Well, the point
is that
family
unification.
All right. But that's the point. And those are the kinds of things that are going to make some sort of an agreement very, very difficult. And then we don't even know what happens when it gets to the House. You people are boxed in, I think, on this issue.
I think that what we're going to see is an effort to do two things, pass the DREAM Act and provide for border security. The larger question of comprehensive immigration reform, I think, is a separate debate. If that happens in the Senate, then I think it's incumbent on us to press hard to the Republican House leadership to take action on that bill in the House.
We're getting a little short on time here, Congressman Cicilline, but you are living in the so-called Trump world right now. So I want to ask you about an interesting fact from the 2016 election. There were 12 Democrats that won in congressional districts won by President Trump. What lessons should Democrats draw from those victories?
I think the lesson that Democrats should draw is that it's very important that we have a strong economic agenda that focuses on better jobs, better wages for a better future, raising family incomes, reducing the costs in people's lives, and making sure folks are prepared for jobs of the 21st century. That's the centerpiece of a better deal than the raw deal that folks are getting from the Republicans now. I think you're going to continue to hear Democrats speak a lot about the economic anxiety that folks have who are just not making enough money to get by, and make sure that they understand Democrats are fighting for them and fighting to raise their family incomes and improve their lives.
Isn't that basically the message that Hillary Clinton offered in 2016?
You know, if it was, it wasn't heard by those voters. I think it was critical that they hear very clearly first of all, that they understand that Democrats have a plan and ideas that will focus on the real anxiety in their lives. And what people want to know is, what are you going to do to make my life better? And I think they heard promises from President Trump that turned out not to be true. But folks were desperate for change. They felt like the system was really not working. And I think they're going to continue to hear from Democrats our very specific ideas of what we're going to do to make their lives better.
I think it's going to be very hard because you're going to be making this argument against a backdrop where the economy is booming. People are getting more money in their paychecks once the deductibles kick in. Also, businesses are booming and giving bonuses out to places like Walmart.
Well,
I really think you have a tough road to hoe.
I think the reality is most Americans know that there are signs of economic recovery, but that it's very uneven, that most people are working hard, working two and three jobs, still not making enough to get by. And although they have a sense the economy is improving, and it is, it's not improving in their lives. You look at the tax bill. 83% of that tax cut goes to the top 1%. And the truth is, Americans oppose that tax bill 2-1.
I need to stop you there because we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Congressman David Cicilline.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more details on our website at ripr.org.